Hosea chapter 12, verse 1. Ephraim is enjoying wind, and is pursuing an east wind. All the day lying and spoiling he multiplieth, and a covenant with a sure they make, and oil to Egypt is carried. The Lord is saying that the tribe of Ephraim is making alliances with Egypt and the Assyrians. It's selling oil to Egypt. Even though Egypt and the Assyrians are pagan nations, they worship pagan gods, and they commit many sins, the Israelites are still hobnobbing and sinning along with them and worshiping false gods to make money. The Israelites didn't trust God to meet their needs. They were trying to make their own way by putting their faith in the world. 2. And a controversy hath Jehovah with Judah, to lay a charge on Jacob, according to his ways, according to his doings he returneth to him. Jacob means Israel. It also says Jehovah has a controversy with Judah. At this time, Israel was split into two separate kingdoms. 10 of the tribes were under the kingdom of Israel, which was a rebel kingdom, and they practiced paganism, even though they were taught the laws of God. And then the tribe of Judah and the Levites were still following the ordinances of God, and for the most part, they were worshiping him. But even in the tribe of Judah, they were committing sin sometimes, depending on who their king was. There were some evil kings of Judah, but all of the kings of Israel were evil. The Lord is angry with both kingdoms, but more so with Israel. 3. In the womb he took his brother by the heel, and by his strength he was a prince with God. Jacob, who was later named Israel and became the father of all 12 tribes, when he was in his mother's womb, he was supposed to be the second child. He was one of twins, but his twin Esau ended up being the second one to come out of the womb because Jacob fought with him in the womb. They knew this because Esau's hand came out first, and they tied a red string around it. He was supposed to be the firstborn. But then Jacob wrestled with his twin brother in the womb, and Jacob ended up coming out first because he grabbed Esau by the heel and pulled him back in. Jacob was a man who totally went after whatever he wanted. 4. Yea, he is a prince unto the messenger, and he overcometh by weeping, and he maketh supplication to him. At Bethel he doth find him, and there he doth speak with us. Bethel was the place where Jacob fell asleep when he was traveling when he was young. He laid his head on a rock, and while he was sleeping, he had a vision of all of the angels going up and down a staircase that led to heaven. So when he woke up, he knew that he was in a holy place, and that's why he called it Bethel. But later on, the Israelites turned Bethel into a pagan capital, and they were worshiping false gods. But also, Bethel is the place where Jacob wrestled with an angel. He cried out to the angel and demanded and begged for a blessing from God, and he wouldn't let the angel go, so the angel dislocated his hip, and Jacob had a limp for the rest of his life. And that's why Israelites, when they eat a lamb, they don't eat the hip in honor of Jacob wrestling with the angel. You can see when he was in the womb, he fought with his twin brother. And when he was an adult, he fought with the angel and he cried to the angel as well because the angel was stronger than he was. So he was even willing to fight opponents that were stronger in order to get a blessing from heaven. And that's why he became the father of all 12 tribes. And he spoke with God. Now here it uses a plural form of God, but the Bible makes it really clear God is one. There's only one God. There isn't multiple. But there's a few rare places in the Bible where God says us or we instead of I. And it's because he's referring to his heavenly court. When any king refers to his court, he always uses plural because his court includes all of his courtiers and counselors. And in heaven, God's court includes the saints and the angels, who are all witnesses of his decisions. And that's why the word us is used here. It's kind of a legal term, and it means that when Jacob spoke to the Lord, he spoke in God's heavenly court with all of the angels as witnesses. 5. Even Jehovah, God of the hosts, Jehovah is his memorial. The Lord himself was Jacob's memorial, and that's why Jacob called that place Bethel. Jacob honored the Lord. He had weaknesses, but he always believed that there was only one God, and that the one eternal God of the living was his only hope in this life. 6. And thou, through thy God, dost turn kindness and judgment, keep thou, and wait on thy God continually. Jacob, who the Lord later named Israel, the father of the 12 tribes, believed that God is kind. But the Israelites in Hosea's generation do not believe that God is kind. And that's why they kept turning to pagan nations for help. Today, there's a lot of Christians who really don't believe in the kindness of God. So they ask the world for help. They trust in money. They trust in their career. They trust in their good looks or their intelligence or a close friend who they believe will help them in life. But they don't trust in God. And that's what leads us into sin. It's because we're looking to get our needs met through the world instead of asking the Lord and believing that he cares about us. 7. Canaan, in his hand are balances of deceit, to oppress he hath loved. The tribes of Israel are like a deceitful Canaanite. They have become liars, just like the pagans who lived in that land before them. The Israelites were willing to tell a lie and oppress the poor in order to gain riches. 8. And Ephraim saith, surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. All my labors, they find not against me iniquity that is sin. The tribe of Ephraim believed that it was not a sin to pursue wealth. And there are Christians today who don't believe it's a sin to pursue wealth. But Jesus said, the love of money is the root of all evil. But there are Christians today who love money above anything else. They always have to have the latest car, the best house, the best wardrobe, and they have to follow all the fads because it's wealth and status that they really worship. Unfortunately, that's how the Israelites were living as well. 9. And I, Jehovah, thy God, from the land of Egypt, again do I turn thee back into tents, as in the days of the appointed time. The Feast of Tabernacles is when the Israelites are supposed to build booths or tents to live in, and they live in those tents for a little while to commemorate when God took them out of Egypt and they had to live in tents when they were traveling in the desert. But the Lord says, because you won't quit sinning, I'm going to make you live in tents permanently. You're going to be homeless. And they would be, because the Assyrians would capture them and take them into Syria. 10. And I have spoken unto the prophets, and I have multiplied vision, and by the hand of the prophets I use similes. We see this all throughout the Bible in both the Old and the New Testament. The Lord gives metaphors and similes to the prophets, and he tells them to speak to the people and tell them to quit sinning. Every single prophet in the Old Testament and the New Testament, every single one of them, including Jesus and John the Baptist and Moses and Noah, told the people to repent. We've already covered how every single prophet so far has told the people to repent, and that never ceases to be the case throughout the entire Bible. That's why the Lord gave the prophets similes and metaphors. And a metaphor is a literary device that teaches a lesson, such as when Jesus said that he is the lamb that is slain. That's a metaphor that explains to you that he was going to the cross to pay the price for his people's sins. 11. Surely Gilead is iniquity. Only vanity they have been. In Gilead, bullocks they have sacrificed. Also their altars are as heaps on the furrows of a field. In Gilead, they were giving animal sacrifices to false gods instead of giving it to the real God. 12. And Jacob doth flee to the country of Aram, and Israel doth serve for a wife, yea, for a wife he hath kept watch. This is talking back about when Jacob, who became Israel and became father of all 12 tribes, he used to live in the area of Syria, and he worked for 7 years to get a wife. He had to pay the dowry for a wife by working for 7 years. And then he didn't even get the wife that he wanted. He was tricked by his father-in-law. So then he had to work another 7 years to get the wife that he actually wanted. And that's why Jacob ended up with 2 wives. 13. And by a prophet hath Jehovah brought up Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet it hath been watched. That prophet was Moses. Moses is the one who brought the people out of Egypt and taught them to stop sinning and practicing the pagan religion of the Egyptians. Often the Lord will go through the history of Israel to teach Israel all the things that he has done for them and all of the sins that they have committed against him. This chapter is a history lesson showing you where Israel came from and the fact that it's still rebelliously sinning. Even though God built Israel up and kept Israel safe for so many years. 14. Ephraim hath provoked most bitterly, and his blood on himself he leaveth, and his reproach turned back to him doth his Lord. The tribe of Ephraim keeps getting mentioned over and over in the book of Hosea, because that was the tribe that Hosea was from, and those were his own people that he was prophesying to. Hosea is prophesying that the tribe of Ephraim that was blessed more than any other tribe by Israel, who was Ephraim's grandfather, that tribe has brought its blood on its own head, meaning the people of Ephraim are going to get destroyed by the Assyrians, but it will all be their own fault because they wanted to worship the idols of the Assyrians. So the Lord is going to allow the Assyrians to attack them. In the next chapter, the Lord will continue to talk about the history of Israel and all of their sins. And that concludes Hosea chapter 12.